Now by now you should know that I'm a short-winded speaker. And so with the time I have left, I'll probably finish before the time allotted. Nevertheless, I always said to my friends as I was growing up as a teenager and we were doing street side meetings and everything, I would tell my friends, I said, say what the Lord tells you to say and move out the way. You know, don't use fillers. And so I was brought up with that, and so I kind of live by that. So good day, everyone, and thank you for having Joyce and myself here with you all. We are always glad, we're always happy to sit among the saints and to sing and to fellowship. We thank you for inviting us once more to come by. We have been coming so long, I now begin to weigh our coming with how I feel. Today I feel good. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me, please, to the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles is what the book is called. The book of Acts and chapter 26. Chapter 26. And with the Lord's blessing, we'll share a few thoughts from here. Chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of a religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise are 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be, though, incredible by you that God raised the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Verse 11. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O King, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not obedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Verse 23. That the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. And then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. The Lord would add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Brothers and sisters, we all come from different parts of the world and different families, but we are here gathered under one name and one name only, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And having read this account, which I've read many times, my book is all highlighted, we see a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ who is now brought up before the leaders of his day. And by virtue of that, I want you to understand that right now we're living in a great country. We as believers need not be afraid yet to stand up publicly and declare the Lord Jesus Christ to our neighbors and our friends and whoever would hear us. I don't know if we'll be around when persecution might begin to take place, where we might have to go underground. But no matter where we go, no matter where we are, there's one thing that we can always be resting assured of. It is that wherever we are, the Lord is with us. And that, I tell you, should give us such great hope that he is with us. So Paul is brought before the leaders of his day, and they were aware that this man was very well educated. They knew him. They knew him before he became a Christian. And now they know him as he's professed to be a Christian. But there are always those that are aligned against the people of God, the men and women of God. Please don't ever think that you're not under scrutiny, because you always are. As a young believer, I got saved as a teenager. As a young believer growing up, I remember I worked among many men older than I and so on. I was kind of like a fireball, so I start these conversations. Sometimes I didn't know where it would take me. But I went. And some of these men would look at me and say, "What do you don't know anything." And I said, "You might be right. Partly. Because I know Jesus." And Paul here was not afraid to testify of his Savior and of his Lord and what he had done for him. There was no question there but that they knew that. And even people who were at one point supposed to be his friends were now turning against him. Because remember, it was the religious people of his day that supported him when he was going around persecuting the saints. When he was there beating people and stoning them, or have people throw their clothes at his feet as they stoned people to death. They knew who he was. But now there was a change in his life. And one of the most beautiful things that can happen in any and all of our lives is when we have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when the change comes. If you're timid, you get brave. If you felt like you couldn't speak, all of a sudden you talk too much as you testify of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he gives us the tools that we need to tell forth the message of his salvation. It is that important. You know, I've thought about this, and I thought, you know, Jesus could have come and he could have gone to the cross and died, and it would have just been a point in history. Nothing else. But where would we be if we did not hear from those who had experienced him, from those who went forth and went through things like persecution and being put to death? just for telling forth the good news of the Lord's salvation. Talking to one of my brothers this morning out in the foyer, and I said, you know, we take so much for granted. So much. Went to sleep last night. And when I went to sleep, I expected to wake up. But I had no control over that. The Lord saw it fit to raise me up to be here before you. And all of us, we can look to see what it is that we can be thankful for today, right now. And then there are those who will say, I will not have this man to rule over me. Oh yes, there are many who have gotten up today and will say, I want nothing to do with your Christ and Christianity. Even then, those of us who know the Lord can breathe a prayer for them and says, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on them. Look for the little things in your life that you take for granted, and then be willing to say and able to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for making me able to stand. You know, as we get older, we find that the strong men are begin to bend and we can't stand up straight sometime. But thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with those around me about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what Paul did in this passage. I think maybe Agrippa and his friends probably said, when they gave him permission to speak, probably say, and he opened his mouth, they probably said, oh my, I don't think this is going to be good. Now we have given him permission to speak. And now he's speaking. And with all the building up that they gave Saul at the time, we know that you're a learned man. We've seen you. We've heard you. Speak. And then, as we read in the later part of the chapter, he made his defense. He made his defense because Festus gave him permission. But having now heard what he had to say, Festus says, you must be mad. How many times in your life that you might be witnessing to somebody and they said, man, you crazy. What are you talking about? You're crazy. If you are testifying, if you're witnessing to someone and they all of a sudden look at you and say, you must be crazy, you should smile to yourself and say, I'm in good company. Because that's exactly what they did to Paul. You must be mad. Yeah. You must be mad. You're beside yourself. Much learning, verse 24, is driving you mad. I never knew the sense when some people told me I was crazy. The apostle says to them, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak the words of truth and reason. There's another verse in the scripture that says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Wow. Is there any of us that can say that we have not committed sin? No. But there are those of us who can say, thank God, my sin is forgiven. It's all washed away. It's all covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only His blood that could do that. He said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. And he goes on, for the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. So the king wasn't ignorant. He knew. He had the facts. Now, was he willing to apply them to his own life, like many others in our day and age? No. Maybe not. But it doesn't mean that he didn't know he had the facts. Speak freely. No, he knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. Ah, the message of our salvation is out there. Comes from different areas and through different mediums. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus was buried, and on the third day rose again from the dead. And having risen, he's justified us. Years ago, we used to add on to that. We now look like just as if we had never sinned. Justification. But only Jesus can do that. No one else. I grew up in a religion where there was a lot of idol worship. And because I was in that religion, I was taught to pray to certain statues with different names and look in certain ways. And I was so serious about what I was taught that one day I was riding along with a priest in a Land Rover. And on the dashboard of that Land Rover was a little picture of this statue that we pray to. He's driving maybe 15, 20 miles along this dirt road. And suddenly the wind picked up that picture and took it out of the Land Rover. You know what I did? Maybe 11 or 12 years old. I stood on the tailgate of that vehicle, jumped off to rescue that picture. That was how much they had me. Because I felt like I would get some special favor if I can save this picture. There was a bridge and I know that the vehicle had to stop. So he kept on going. He didn't know. I jumped off the vehicle. I picked up the picture, ran over the bridge, and I got there in time to get back. And then he realized that I had jumped out the vehicle. And I was so, so proud of myself. I figured that worth at least 20 points in heaven. And so I showed him, gave the picture to him, and I said, here. I said, it fell out of the vehicle, and I jumped out and got it. He said, you did what? I jumped out and got it. He got so angry with me. If he wasn't a priest, he probably would have cursed me out. But that was the end of the ride that day. So all my other friends got mad at me. Because I should not have jumped out. I didn't think about it that way. I thought that I was doing a good deed. Beloved, there is nothing good that any of us can do to inherit heaven. But everything that is necessary for our salvation has been done and completed. Because Jesus died on that cross for us. So, verse 26, for the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. I want you to understand that He's talking to the king, and he's making known, in case he didn't know it, that it wasn't done in secret. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? He asked him. And then he answers the question, I know that you do believe. And then Agrippa says to him, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. There might be someone in the sound of my voice today. And maybe that's exactly where you are. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. If you are there, there's hope for you yet. All it takes is for you to say, Lord, this man is telling me I can't save myself, but Jesus can save me. And he died to save me. And so I'm coming to you, asking you to save me. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul, in verse 29, responds to him, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except these chains. He was in chains. But if I understand this correctly, Paul is saying, look, chains are no chains. I'm free because Jesus set me free. So he says, all you got to do is trust him. All you got to do is to say, Lord, save me. You know, sometimes there are those that might be the only thing that they can say. In fact, they might not even be able to say it. They might only be able to think it. But if you can only think it in your mind, in your head, and says, Lord, save me. I recognize that I can't make it into heaven by myself. Save me. And the Lord, his grace and mercy will save us. Whether you're on your deathbed or on death row, or whether or not you're driving on the 5 freeway with some crazy people coming in the opposite direction, whatever it is, wherever you are, he can save you. Not only can he save you, he will save you if you ask him to save you. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul says, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and together such as I am, except for these chains. What was he with the exception of the chains? He was a sinner saved by grace. And that's who we are. We're sinners saved by grace. And no matter what chains have us binded, if we have the Lord as our Savior, we're free. So when he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. I want you to know the king always carries his entourage, you know. They're always there with him. All his different friends and so on. And this guy was no different. He had his buddies with him and his friends with him. They all stood up. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. They found him not guilty. No doubt, Paul had been suffering. No doubt, he tells you how many times he had been beaten and all the things that he went through. once he got saved. But having been saved, he didn't have to worry about that anymore. And they came to the conclusion that he was not deserving of death or chains. But notice verse 32. Then Agrippa said to Festus, "This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." So they found an out. They had a lot to think about, but they said, well, he appealed to Caesar, so we might as well let him go to Caesar. I've thought about that. You know that sometimes we are going through certain things in our lives, and it might be hard, and we wonder why? Well, maybe what we need to do is to ask the Lord, why not? Because you see, there might be a Caesar somewhere that we can get through to by the grace of our Lord. There is always that next person to tell of the love of Jesus. And he might be preparing you or me, one of us, more than one of us. All of us probably have our own Caesar that we need to go to. Because when he went before Caesar, you know what he did? Exact same thing he did here. He testified of his Savior. Will we do that? Will we be those who are always looking for the next person? Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Is it someone we meet in the street? Whoever they are, may we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us to them and give us the wisdom to speak to them. And not only speak to them, but that their hearts will be prepared to hear the message that only you and I have. Whoever it is that he's sending me to or you to, it's your message that will get through to that individual. Today, somebody under the sound of my voice may have gotten a different look at the Apostle Paul, that man that is responsible for so many of the letters in our Bible, and who has dealt with so many issues of the believers. And we now can go forth and tell the message in our own words and on our own terms to our friend or family member, whoever it is, father, mom. I got a minute and I'll tell you a personal. My mom, well, I got saved, as I tell you, as a teenager. And one of the first person it was suggested that I talk to was my mom. And so I spoke to my mom. But my mom was very big in the fraternal order. So she was like way up there, had some engteen degree, whatever it was. And here is his son, firstborn son, but still is her son. Here is her son witnessing to her. She laughs in my face. And what I did throughout that time frame was every little opportunity I got. I didn't fight her, but every little opportunity I get, I would chip in a little word here and a little word there. And years later, my mom ended up in the hospital with congestive heart failure. And she came to live with my wife and I for a little bit as she went through treatment. And one day I asked her, as I was taking her to the doctor, I says, "Mom, have you ever wondered why God spared your life?" And her answer was, "I don't know, darling. I don't know." About 2 days later, at night, she asked for my wife and I to come together. She took her hands. And she said this, "I'm ready. Needless to say, there is nothing but tears of joy that I was able to, along with my wife and I, to introduce my mother to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ after all these years. Praise God. And so I live in the hope that one day soon, I'm going to see her again with her hand at her jaw like this. May God bless you and keep you. Don't ever give up on your loved ones as a believer. Pray for them. And you don't have to give them a long sermon. It might just be, Jesus loves you. Doesn't take a lot. But it takes your sincerity and your reliance on the Holy Spirit of God. Let us pray. Father, I come before you this afternoon, giving you thanks and praise in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your servant has done the best that he can do. But we know that my best is nothing without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we ask even now that as your word go forth, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a friend, a neighbor, whoever we are, that have come under the sound of my voice, that your Spirit would speak to their hearts and to say to them, Jesus loves you. And that's why he died. He died to set us free. And today could be the beginning of a great new day in the lives of each and every one of us. Bless us wherever we are, we pray. May your Spirit continue to strive with us and draw us nearer to yourself. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In your own worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.